You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Numbers chapter number 13. I want to preach a message to you tonight about 10 men that you don't normally hear about in Scripture. Of course, the book of Numbers, a lot of names mentioned, and throughout Scripture, there's probably a lot of names we don't really focus on, but I want to talk tonight about 10 men in Scripture, 10 leaders, 10 influencers, as that's a popular word nowadays, but leaders are influencers, and that's what leadership really is, and we all lead and we all influence in some way. But I also want you to see how these leaders shaped the thinking of really their nation of people, and so these are leaders of men that you probably have never heard a message about. Their names will sound foreign to you; they're obscure characters, but you will know some things that they did. Let me tell you their names: Shammua, Shaphat, Igal, Phalti, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Guel. Now that's a cool name, right? Guel. Where's Brother Guel? We have Brother Guel. We don't have a Guel, all right? But we have a Brother Guel. And those were their names. Those are the 10 men. How many messages have you heard on Shammua? Or Phalti, or Amiel, or Guel? Guel. Probably you haven't heard many on those names, right? They don't sound that familiar to you. But as soon as I give you one other piece of information, you will not know who these men, their names, but you will know who they are. If I were to sing a little nursery song, you would probably know 12 men went to spy out Canaan, 10 were, and 2 were, 10 men. 10 men. We see here in our Bibles in Numbers chapter 13, I want to preach a message entitled, Don't Follow the Leader. Don't follow the leader. There are times when you should not follow. Now, ultimately you say, well, God's my leader. Follow him all the time, okay, of course, because he's perfect. But there are times, and we're going to really look at faithless leadership. Faithless leadership. And so there are times where there are some things that we should not emulate from leaders. And so let's look at our Bibles here. Look at chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And here are the names. And these were the names of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachar, the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, we know that name, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, which is Joshua, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu, that's fun, of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai, of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi, of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the tribe of the son of Gamaliel, of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael, of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi, of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machai, whatever you say that there. Lots of fun names in Scripture, right? And every time I read Scripture and see some of these names, every time I think to myself, man, I'm so glad that my parents didn't name me Guel, you know, or something, or Palti, or whatever, you know. But we see these men here, and I want to just show you several things tonight. We're going to look at the men, we're going to look at the message, and we're going to look at the meltdown. And then at the very end, I'm going to give you two things of insight into this, and I'm going to try to move quickly through it, but I want you to see the picture of what's going on. Let's pray together as we jump into the Scripture. Father, I'm so thankful for the Word of God and how real and alive it is, and I pray tonight as we dig into some Scripture here that you would unlock some truth for us that will help us tonight and down the road as well. May each time we come to church, may it just be a brick upon a brick and line upon line, precept upon precept. May we just be building and growing in our faith in Jesus Christ. So give us wisdom and help tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to look at these men. Look at these men, first of all, okay? Let me give you several things about these men. First of all, notice here that they were chosen men. These men were chosen. They were handpicked. Verse 2, it says, "Send now men that thou mayest search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man." So God told Moses, you know, basically handpicked these guys. So these were picked men. These were chosen men. And what an honor it is to be chosen for a task. I mean, can you imagine being one of the ones chosen to go spy out, be the first ones to step into the promised land and carry those cluster of grapes from Eshcol, which, by the way, they called it Eshcol because Eshcol means cluster of grapes, just so you know that. But and sometimes we think, oh, that cluster was so big, the grapes must have been like this. No, it's probably normal grapes, but just huge clusters of the grapes, right? Sometimes we think they had a grape like this, you know, walking down. That's not how it was, all right? But to be picked to do that is an honor. You know, I want to just encourage you, never lose the wonder of God choosing to use you. Never lose the wonder that God would choose you to do something for him. That's a blessing. These were chosen men. These men were chosen, but these men were chiefs. Look what it says here. It says that they were, in verse 2, at the end, it says, everyone a ruler, which means chief or leader. Okay, so Moses, I want you to choose out the leaders of these people. Verse 3 at the end there, it says, all those men were heads of the children of Israel. So they're leaders, they are influencing people, they've already got a following amongst their own tribe there. The word head there means person in charge. You know, if you're the head of a company, you're the person in charge. And that's what these men were. They were leaders amongst their people. And by the way, side note here, people don't always know how to choose the best leaders. I leave you with that, living in America. All right, here we go. Chosen, they were chiefs. Now, it says here they were the heads. The head is a crucial part of the body. The head is a very crucial part. The body goes where the head tells it to. And if these are the heads and the people are the body, oftentimes those people are going to go where the head says. So these men are really influencing. They're gonna see some things that the other people are not gonna see. And they're gonna tell the people some things that those other people may have saw those things and taken away a different thought when they see the land of Canaan. But these leaders are gonna be their eyes. And these people that are influencing are gonna influence. People follow leaders, and some people just have more influence than others. And that's a good thing for us to be careful about. Be careful how you influence others, and be careful who influences you. Be very careful about that. But and then we see also the head of the church is Christ, and we're the body, right? And so as God leads, we follow. As he leads, we follow. These men were chosen. They were the chiefs of their people, but they also, I believe they were courageous. I really do. They didn't balk at the command to go search out the land. They knew enemies were there. They had the courage to go into this unknown territory and to be spies. You know, I often think about the respect that I have for people who put on uniforms to serve other people. I think about our armed forces. I can't imagine, you know, being conscripted or signing up to go to war. I can't imagine that, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for men and women that get dressed in, the police colors. I'm thankful for firefighters. I'm thankful for nurses and doctors on the front lines. I'm thankful for first responders, people that are going out courageously to help other people. I think that's a good thing to be thankful for. We've got men that were chosen. We've got men that were chief leaders. We've got these men, I believe, were courageous. But notice also, look at verse 17. These men were commissioned. They were commissioned. What's that mean? It means, and let me just help you with this. I know some of our military folks have probably a different definition of commission, and that's a right one as well. But what I mean by that is an authorization or a command, listen to this, to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. They were given a job, a task. They were given a charge to do. Look what Moses tells them to do in verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, get you up this way southward. Now, let me just help you with that. If you are looking at a map and you're thinking, oh, they went south, they're actually going north. Southward is the term Negev, I think. And it's referring southern Canaan. Like right now we're in California. If you said, I'm going to go to the south, you may actually be going east because you're going to go to Georgia, Tennessee, where my wife is right now, Arkansas, whatever. It was a region. So they were actually going north into the south. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so he says, I want you to go up, and you'll see that later it says to ascend, by the way, the south. Get you up this way southward. Go up into the mountain of Seir there and see the land, see what it is, the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, which was July or August time, okay? So as they're going up, their commission, their specific task was really not to go up and say, do I like this place? Do I think we could have it? They were to go up and come back and let Moses know, what are we about to go into? What are we about to face? We need to prepare. We need to get equipped for the job that we're about to do. They were not going there to be able to slander the land. Okay? Now look, one of the key verses of all this is verse 2. Okay, you need to know verse 2 before you see the rest of this, okay? Verse 2 says this, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. The next phrase is important, which I give unto the children of Israel. God had already said, the land is given. I give it to you. He had already said in Exodus, he had already told them, I will fight for you. I will send the angel in front of you. You won't have to do much at all. You just got to take the step of faith, and it will be given to you. It's already been given. And so know that that's what's taking place here. It had already been given to them. They weren't going to find out, do you think we can conquer this land? They were going to say, hey, how can we be equipped to go into this land? Now, for instance, if you know tonight, I'll tell one of my kids to take out the trash. And if I tell one of my kids, hey, I want you to go take out the trash, and they go play basketball instead, they did not do what they were commissioned to do. These men did not do what they were commissioned to do. The victory was already decided. They did not need to come back with an opinion about that. They just needed to see through the eyes of faith what could be. And they didn't. So we see these men. These weren't just some, you know, some losers that were picked. These were leaders of men, people that carried influence. But notice their message. Not only the men, but notice their message. Look at verse 26. Look at their message. So they go and they're gone for 40 days. They travel all this way up, all through the land of Canaan. They get to the brook of Eshcol. They see the grapes and all, I think it says pomegranates and all this other stuff there. And they see all of this, and it says there the pomegranates and the figs. They brought those things. And here they come back, verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. No doubt, Moses wanted that, right? He told them, bring back some fruit. Was Moses just hungry? I really want some grapes. No, he was saying, I want you to bring it back so the people can see with their own eyes what's waiting for them in the promised land. I think that's an amazing thing. And these men, they started out well. Look at their message, verse 27. And they told them and said, we came into the land where thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And the people are probably, yeah, this is amazing. The next word kills it all. Nevertheless. You're right, Moses. Boy, what an incredible land it is. Oh my, the milk, the honey. I mean, like, what's it like to see milk flowing like that? I don't even understand that. But the milk and honey is flowing. It's a supple, rich, vibrant land. And look at these grapes and pomegranates. But, you see, they got their hopes up. And then with just a couple words, they sucked the life right out of these people. They should have stopped after verse 27. But they went on and they said, nevertheless. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He's saying, hey, calm down, everybody. Wait a second. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You've got 10 guys saying, this can't be done. And you've got two guys saying, it can absolutely be done. Well, I wonder who the vast majority of people are going to listen to. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But they're forgetting that they're not stronger than God. That's what they're forgetting. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You know, imagine how crushing that must have been for these people. So wandering for so long, waiting for this land that was promised to them, and now they finally have some hope, and they send out the spies, and now for 40 days they're probably waiting and just excited to go into the promised land, and these guys come back and say, hey, it was all for nothing, we should have died in Egypt. What? I mean, how would that be crushing? See, the message of these men was, my voice is leaving me, but the message of these men was faithless, fearful, and it was also false. It was faithless. It was, they had no faith in God. It was fearful. They always see as the giants, but it was also false. It was an evil report. God calls it slander in the next chapter. We're going to see that in just a little bit. Look at Numbers chapter, well, let's look at it now. Numbers 14, verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur, they made the congregation to murmur against him. By the way, after they murmured against Moses, and after they threatened to stone Joshua and Caleb, Moses went to the Lord and defended them. Amazing. I would have said, you're right, God, kill them all. That's not what Moses did. Look what it says. They murmured against him by bringing up a slander. That's a false report upon the land. Even those men, by the way, look what happened to them. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Why? Because they did some stuff that they were not supposed to do. And they infected the people with their fear. Oh my. A faithless report. A fearful report. A false report. That was their message. So we see the men, we see the message, but now we've seen a little bit of it, but let's look at the meltdown a little bit. The meltdown. What do I mean by that? Because of the evil report of these men, remember, God, they come out of Egypt in Exodus, and God says, the reason why you're coming out is because I have a land for you where you're going to grow and you're going to be my people. They're excited to go to that. But these are people that grew up in Egypt in the world. They are not mature Christian people. They're not mature Jewish people. They are ignorant of so much of God's ways, and they make mistake after mistake after mistake, and now they have some leaders of the people who have a chance to influence them to get them to where they're supposed to be, and they get 10 lousy leaders and two good ones. So the meltdown here is because these people brought this evil report, and the children of Israel began to murmur against Moses and God. And Joshua and Caleb, as I mentioned earlier, they try to encourage them. They try to tell them they can't do, you know, that they can do it. They can win the battle. They can conquer this thing. Hey, let's go up at once. Joshua even says in one of the verses here in chapter 14, I think it's verse 9, it says, for they are bread for us. B-R-E-A-D. I love bread. I love it too much. But, you know, Joshua says, hey, let's go. These people are bread for us. They're nothing, you know? And so they were ready, but the other men were not. Eventually, what's going to happen is, in chapter 14, the people are going to complain so much that they're going to provoke God. And what they're going to do is, they're going to provoke God enough that he's going to tell Moses, I'm going to kill them all and start over because of their wickedness. Moses says, don't do this. Then all the Egyptians will say that you couldn't deliver them, and God knew what he was doing. And so God tells Moses, none of these men, these grown men, none of these grown men in Israel that have murmured against me, none of these grown-ups are going to make it to the promised land. Their children will, but they will not. They said, if we go there, our children will be killed. The children are going to be the only ones going. They're going to be slain in the wilderness. That's what God tells them. Look at chapter 14, verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Wow. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who'd returned and made all the congregation murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. So they didn't even make it. They didn't even last any longer. And so they thought that God couldn't keep his promise, so God didn't. I promised to take you to Canaan, but you've broken everything, every agreement, every arrangement. So this is what you're going to get. You're going to get that. You're going to get what you wanted. You thought, hey, well, you know, our kids will be die. You're going to die here. Your kids will make it. And so, I mean, this was bad. But think about it. Honestly, Moses, when he sent them out, they were set up for success. They could have come back and just been like, tribe of Judah. You know, as whoever was the tribe of Judah, the leader stood up there, and each of them could have stand in front of their tribe, could have stood in front of their tribe and said, guys, this is it. It's here. Let's do this. Let's roll. You know, let's take it. It was all set up for them, but they did not do it. Why? How did this come about? I want to just give you a couple things here of what brought God's judgment upon these 10 men in particular. And I want to give you two closing thoughts. But let me just say this as we're nearing the end here. Why did this meltdown occur? Why did the judgment of God come upon these men? I'll say, first of all, because they looked at the negatives. They looked at the negatives. Look back at chapter 13 again, at verse number 28. Notice what they emphasize. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong. Dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And we saw the children of Anak there. Look at verse 31. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought up an evil report of the land that had searched the children of Israel. They sang, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak. You see these words? Which come out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now get the picture. The people didn't see this. This wasn't like they watched it on their cell phone and they saw it. No, that's not true. They don't know what's there. They're relying upon their leaders to tell them. And the leaders are like, these dudes are so big that when we look at them, we're like grasshoppers. Goliath was about 9.5 feet tall. I'm 6'2", so, I mean, that's taller than I can reach, right? That's pretty big, but like a grasshopper? You think they're exaggerating a bit? They're great stature. The land is eating up the inhabitants of it. They're seeing only one thing here. Well, what about the land and the fruit, guys? Yeah, it was great, but there's just no way we could take over. There's just no way. Listen, when God puts a task in front of you, what do you see? Do you see the positive? Do you see the negative? Maybe some of you young people, God's going to call you to go into the ministry somewhere, and you're going to look at the negative or the positive. You're going to look at the, well, you know, the financial aspect of it, and what if God calls me to some, you know, third world country or what? That's not how we're supposed to do it. You're not just supposed to look at the negatives of there. You don't just see the problems; you see the potential. You see the potential of what God can do. And look, as I'm talking to the leaders here of Gethsemane Baptist Church, and many of you teach a class or you work in somewhere and you influence others, let's not spread an infectious disease, okay? One that you don't need a mask for. I'm talking about fear. Let's not spread that to others. I just don't know if we can do this. I just don't think. You think God can't do it? You know, leaders, we have a responsibility to lead. And here are people that looked only at the negative. They also lost their purpose. They lost their purpose. Their job was to go and to tell Moses how to prepare for the land. Go to search the land. Are the people strong? Are they weak? Is the land good? Is the land bad? Is the land fat? Is it lean? Help us get equipped because we're going into this land. We're going to take it. God's given it to us. We know it's going to be great. We just need to know what it's like right now. That was their job. Now listen, God was the leader of the children of Israel. God was the leader. So when these men went and they were commissioned to do a job, they were supposed to bring back the right message. But what they did was akin to mutiny because God was in charge and God was the leader. And so for them to come back and say, that land that God promised us, it's not all it's cracked up to be, let me just tell you. That's about like mutiny. That's like an insurrection because God, the leader, was saying something and the leaders underneath him were not backing up what God wanted them to say. And we need to realize these men lost their purpose. They were there to do what God wanted them to do and they didn't do it. They were looking at the negative. Also, they lacked faith. They lacked faith. Look at verse 2, chapter 14. Chapter 13. To go back to this verse. Send now men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. They lacked faith because God had already given them the land. He'd already given it to them. All they had to do was take it. Like salvation. God's given it to you. How do you get it? By faith. And you reach out and take it. And you say, yes, Lord, yes. I want that. That's all they had to do. That's all they had to do. Was there a battle involved? Yeah. Was God going to protect them? Oh, yeah. And we'll see that later on. But these leaders lacked faith. They could not see past the problems to the promise of God. They couldn't see it. And I'm going to get to two practical points in just a second. The last thought here with this is this meltdown came because they looked at the negative things. They lost their purpose. They lacked faith, but also what was really just the thing that just was so bad about this in chapter 14, verse 1, is that they led people astray. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. So what was the response of the people? So here these men come, these 10 men, they come back, they've got a message, they've seen the land, everyone's waiting with bated breath to hear about this awesome land that God gave them. They come back and say, folks, listen up. Here's the fruit. Here's what we brought back. And everyone's cheering and excited. Nevertheless, hey, everybody calm down. Nevertheless, let me just tell you, we can't do this. Wait, what? We can't do it. There's no way. These people are literal giants. Like literally. They're huge. The land just eats people up. There's no way. There's enemies on the left, there's enemies on the right, there's enemies in the south. Oh, and there's giants in several tribes living there too. And look, there's just no way. I mean, it's just, we can't do it. Chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? Now they're blaming God to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? No. It's not better in Egypt. That's a whole message in and of itself right there. It's not better in Egypt. Egypt's a picture of the world. It's not better in Egypt. It never is, never will be. But here's these men that God had brought this group of people all this way. They murmur and complain. They get punished. And you know, they've been going through this whole growth process, and God is trying to get them to this spot, and he finally gets them to the door of where they're supposed to be. And then 10 leaders, 10 people with influence step up, and everyone falls apart, except a few. Everybody. And it's just, it's so frustrating to see the effect of their faithlessness and the effect of their fear. What did their fear produce? More fear. What did their lack of faith produce? more lack of faith, more lack, however you say that, you know what I mean? Yes, another lack of faith from all the people. And again, we've got to be so careful as leaders how we lead, whether it be with faith, and we ought to lead by faith and not with fear. And so we've seen here the men, they were good. I think they were good men. I think they were obviously leaders of men, but their message was a message of just, it was false. It was faithless. It was full of fear. And so because of that, there's this meltdown. The people just, I mean, God's people just melt down. And God has to punish the whole people. And he lays the blame at these guys. I wonder who the first guy to speak was. I wonder who the guy who said nevertheless was. Wouldn't you like to kind of go slap him a little bit? Who said nevertheless? Because, you know, Caleb and Joshua are like, man, this is awesome. Nevertheless, wait, what? Guys, we can do this. And then the people get so mad that they're picking up rocks. Let's stone them. Just because they said we can do it. It's amazing. Listen, this is a lesson in faithless leadership. And we better be very careful how we influence people. And that goes for every one of us because we all influence. We all influence, and we're responsible. We better be very careful how we influence people. I want to give you two thoughts tonight. So I've given you the men. We've looked at the message and the meltdown, but lastly, the meaning, the applications. Let me give you just two tonight, and we'll be on our way. Number one, I want to say this. Faithless people have no business being leaders. Faithless people have no business being leaders. No business. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Listen, you can't follow the faith of people who don't have any. Faithless people have no business being leaders. Follow their faith. What if it's not there? You have to have faith. The just shall live by faith. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Everything he's doing, everything he asks of us, everything he asks of the men, everything that he tells his people to do is based upon, will you do it by faith or not? Will you succumb to your fear, or will you actually believe that God can do what he said he will do? Will you live by faith or not? And if you can't live by faith, you have no business being a leader of God's people. No business. You have to live by faith. What if I just came to church, or our deacons and our staff, or if you go to another church sometime, and that pastor, that spiritual leader, what if the leadership was just always negative? What if we just got up here and said, folks, there's just no way we can fulfill the Great Commission. It's just too much. It's too big. And the world's too big. There's no way. We can't even hit all of Long Beach. But, you know, we're going to try, but there's just no way we can do that. But let's keep trying. Was that just a motivation to you right there? Like, man, let's get out there right now. Church is dismissed. Let's go. How would you feel? How would you feel if it was like, folks, we got our budget in the foyer, but the way you guys give, I just don't know how we're going to make it financially. What if that's what it was like? What if it was, you know, Long Beach is kind of scary. There's some scary people in Long Beach. Some of them carry bats around. There's some scary people in Long Beach. I don't want to go talk to somebody. They may kill me. There's dogs everywhere. There's pit bulls. How would you feel if that's how it was every time I came to the pulpit? Every time a leader talked, hide your light under a bushel, folks. Don't let it shine because someone may put it out forever. You know, just faithless people have no business being leaders. Listen, leadership is not about a can-do attitude. Leadership is about a God-can attitude. Leadership is not about a can-do attitude. Leadership is about a God-can attitude. I can't, but God can. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever trial I'm going through, I can make it because of Christ. Whatever he asked me to do, I can make it because of Christ. But it's not me, it's him. He doesn't need me to do it. He can do it without me. It's through him. With him, all things are possible. Without him, you know, there's nothing impossible with God. So it's a God-can attitude. Let me just say, never put limits on God where he didn't put limits on himself. Never put limits on God where he did not put limits on himself. God, God told us to do this, but I think he meant something else, because there's just no way that's going to happen. Why do we even pray for stuff if we have no faith? Let's just tear up our prayer list. Let's just tear it up and burn it. Why do we have a prayer list if we're not going to pray in faith? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's the prayer of faith. It's faith, 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 all the way, all the time. That's what it's about. And faithless people have no business being leaders. Secondly, and this is it. Faithless people have no business being leaders. But secondly, I want you to listen to this. What I've learned from this passage is that your perception of God and your perception of his power, your perception of God and his power determines your level of faith. Your perception of God and his power determines your level of faith. If you think you've got a little God, you have little faith. If you have little faith, you probably think you have a little God. If you think you've got a big old God, then you should have big old faith. Big faith. Your perception, because by the way, your perception is not always reality. It's not always reality. Your perception of God and your perception of his power is what determines your faith level. And if you think God can't fulfill his promise, and if you think God can't come through, and if you think God can't save that person, and if you think God can't heal that disease, and if you think God can't pay that bill, and if you think God can't do that thing for you, he probably won't. Because he's looking for people with faith. He's looking for his people who, though we cannot see him with our eyes, yet we believe, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he's looking for people who will live by faith and who will look up to the heavens and say, how big is God? How big and wide is vast domain? Not, I just don't think it'll happen. No, to have faith. If you really believe that God can keep his word and you really believe that God can do anything, you will step out in faith more often. I think of Peter. Peter believed more than the others. See, how do you know? Because he got out of the boat. And he did something that no other man has ever done besides Jesus Christ. He walked on water. No magician on YouTube did it, folks, okay? Peter walked on water. Of only for a little while. Because what happened? How did he walk on the water? Because his eyes were on Jesus. And when he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the waves, his faith wavered. No pun intended, wavered in the waves, okay? But he's looking at Jesus and he says, I want to come to you, Lord. Get out of the boat. He steps out and he's on the water. And he's like, whoo-hoo-hoo. He's walking to Jesus and then he looks around. He sees what's going on around him. He sees no one else is on the water. He sees the circumstances surrounding him. And he gets his eyes off Christ for a minute, and he starts sinking down. And then he's desperate. Ladies and gentlemen, learn this lesson. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Believe in a big God. Can God get the Great Commission? Can we fulfill the Great Commission? Yeah, or else he wouldn't have told us to do it. Yes, he can. And get your eyes off what's going on around you and who's not with you and who is with you and what the society is doing and how the waves are. Oh, they're so big. You've got a bigger God. You have a bigger God than any of that. And he's already promised us some things. Believe God. Faithless people have no business being leaders. And your perception of God and his power determines your level of faith. So tonight, the question is, how big is your God? How big is your God? How big do you view him? Because I'll tell you, he's even bigger than that. He's bigger. How strong is your faith tonight? Are you leading others in faith or in fear? We better be careful because we're responsible. By the way, what were those 10 names again? Oh, that's right. Nobody remembers.